good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager for Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for 30 years now, at least in this neck of the woods over at with my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida, Fort Myers and Naples, Marco Island, all that. And then also with our friends over at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then with our friends at WTMR 800 AM, serving the New Jersey and Philadelphia area. And I'm just so grateful to be in partnership with these good folks there, and we all get to come and sit at the feet of the Lord and let Him speak to us heart to heart. Oh, I just love that. And hey, if you've had the chance to join us before, you know that I have a ongoing series I'll call The Portraits of God, because every passage I go through, I just see a portrait of God, and sometimes several passages point to the same portrait. And the one that we're looking on these last couple of Saturdays or Sundays, whenever you're tuning in, or if you access it at markpg.org to listen on demand, where we have all of these radio broadcasts archived, along with some other things, some print items, some wonderful topical studies, also 3-minute videos on the portraits of God, all at markpg.org. Anyway, whenever you listen to these things, we have this 3-part series, and this is the third of this 3-part series, this particular portrait, how the Lord is our fresh beginning. He is our fresh beginning, and that's certainly appropriate as we come into this new year. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be going over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and following, having been in Genesis 1 and John chapter 1, looking at the first 5 of these 9 takeaways of how the Lord is our fresh beginning. And as we get started, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, we know we make a great mistake if we think we can come to the Scriptures and make heads or tails out of it apart by the illuminating work of Your Holy Spirit. So Lord, we pause to ask that You open our eyes, ears, hearts, just to see and hear and receive all that You have for us today, especially as we look at how You are our fresh beginning. We've had a tough few years here with the COVID pandemic and all the things that spawned. Lord, we're coming into this new year knowing that our hope is only in You, not in the things of this world. And so as we look at how You are our fresh beginning, may it encourage us, may it reassure us that all in You eventually works together for good. Give us eyes to see it, O Lord. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends. Well, if you're a note taker and you have been taking notes because you tuned in before, or if this is the first time you've tuned in for a while, let me just give you the first 5 of our message takeaways of these 9 different ways in which the Lord is our fresh beginning. And I'm just going to be intentionally brief so we can get on to finish those last 4. So we saw that the Lord, our fresh beginning, creates something out of nothing. That's number 1. He creates something out of nothing. Genesis 1 gives us a story of how in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but there was nothing there. So He created something out of nothing. That is such good news, because when things are going really bad, as if it's just dead and gone, He can create something out of that anyway. Secondly, we saw that the Lord, our fresh beginning, creates light in the darkness. He creates light in the darkness. In that Genesis 1 passage, He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then in John 1, we saw when He was talking about even an earlier beginning, which is number 3, He creates all things from eternity past. Our fresh beginning creates all things from eternity past. The scripture says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, or the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So, he created light in the darkness. We saw that in both places, because it goes on to say in verse 4, in him was life, and life was the light of men. He creates light in the darkness. You ever feel like you just can't see your way through, things are dark? He creates light in that. But he creates all things from eternity past. He is so eternal, not just in the future, which we normally think about, but also in the past. He can handle what you're dealing with on your finite timeline, the fleck on a timeline that we're living in. He can handle it. Oh, I love that. You can get a fresh sense of beginning knowing that he's always creating things out of nothing in the darkness from eternity past. And then number 4, he creates and is our life. Again, John 1 verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Our oneness in Christ makes all the difference. And then number 5, he creates access to his grace and truth. Verse 14 in John 1, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Friends, we have access to that, and it's a both and, not an either or. Truth without grace can be harsh. Grace without truth, that can be libertinism, self-indulgence and all. It's a both and, not an either or. Now we continue our journey of discovering the Lord as our fresh beginning, because he creates stability through his Son. And that's number 6 if you're a note taker. He creates something out of nothing, light in the darkness, all things from eternity past. He creates and is our life. He creates access to his grace and truth. And now he creates stability through his Son. And this couldn't be more important than in this post-pandemic era in which we're living. Not so post, because it's still going on along with some other things. But at least it's not the frenetic pace and confusion that we had in its first year. We were 3 years into this now. And oh, how we need stability. Well, guess what? Stability comes through his Son. Let's pick it up in Colossians chapter 1 in verses 15 through 20. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. Let me stop there a moment. Just a reminder, this is another verse that just reiterates how the Lord is our fresh beginning. He is the creator of Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and later on, he created mankind. It also says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And out of that nothingness of eternity past, he created somethingness. He created all things in the heavens, that's the universe, and on earth, visible and invisible. Do you know there's an invisible world that's just as impactful, if not more so, than the visible world? Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, they've been created through him and for him. And here's verse 17, and this is where we pick up the idea about how he creates stability through his Son. Look at this, verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. They are sustained. He's the sustainer. They are sustained. They are stable through his Son. My friends, if you want to have a sense of stability in the midst of all of this COVID chaos and now a flu season that's more acute than it had been before, with all the economic uncertainty, with all the struggles around the world, the wars and the things, and all of the huge problems that are out there, trafficking, genocide. I mean, we just go on and on, the invasion of Ukraine. One of the things that we have to recognize is that this pandemic has spawned a widespread cultural grief. I've been saying this for quite some time. The neurobiology of that, by the way, is that when people are in grief, their logic centers of the brain, they go dark. And it's the emotion and action sections of the brains that light up. And we reflexively respond. That's why when somebody is going through some kind of a crisis or grief or trauma, you cannot reason with them. They're not able to process that. Now, this is an important thing to realize, because the only way we can bring stability is to point people to the Lord. In fact, I picked up some wonderful quotes and concepts this past week. I was at a conference, and a man named Carl Vaders was speaking, and he alluded to these. A lot of these things I had been thinking of, but he really crystallized them. I love it. He put it this way: when times are normal, leaders inspire change. But when times are disruptive, leaders provide stability. And my friend, we've been in a disruptive time for 3 years, and it's going to go on for decades. We don't recognize, perhaps, how cataclysmic the world has become. It has been cataclysmic as far as how the pandemic has affected all of our sensibilities. We're going through the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and then the final one's acceptance. But we're having a hard time getting there. And people are hanging out in the anger stage, or they're hanging out in the denial stage, or they're hanging out in the depression stage. We're hurting. Everything has been disrupted. Schools have been disruptive. Businesses have been disruptive. Our rhythms and flows of life have been disrupted. Church has been disrupted. In church world, many people have stopped coming, and they won't be coming back. We get into new rhythms and patterns. It's been an amazing cataclysmic turn of events. We're experiencing multiple levels of severe trauma. And the entire culture is in flight, fight, or freeze modes. That's the reaction. And it's all the more reason that if you're a spiritual leader, whether it's the lead pastor or a staff member or a lay leader or a Bible study teacher or a counselor or whatever, or even leaders in the businesses and stuff, people that are struggling need to look to their leaders and find a sense of stability. And we can only find stability, and they can only find real stability through the Son, through Jesus Christ. He's the one who holds all things together. I don't know what you're dealing with post-pandemic specifically. I know what you are generally, because we're all doing that. We have emotional fatigue. But then we learn to focus on the Son. And He's saying, I've got this. It's okay. You don't see it all. Couldn't handle it if you could. I'm God. You are not. Oh, my friend. You can get a sense of fresh beginning, not because you can figure out what's going to be happening next, but because it doesn't matter what happens next. We're walking with Jesus Christ, and He is our stability. And I'm actually going to take it one step further. If you think things are going to go back to the way they were, they never will. In fact, there'll be more cataclysmic things happening down the road. Why? Because it's always been that way in human history. You cannot find stability in this world. It is a world that is struggling and wounded and hurt and angry and unpredictable and unfair. It is. But it's okay. Our stability does not rest in that. It rests in the Son. But if you are being cast to and fro with all of these things, then you're discovering to what degree your stability has been based upon your life circumstances. the culture, the world, rather than the sun. By the way, I'll add just one last thing before we move on. You know, these 3 years, and this is something that Vader, I wanted to, Carl Vader brought up. I love the way he put this thing. He said, the three pandemic years are giving us decades of leadership training. We've had to make super fast adjustments, doing new things so quickly. I mean, and we're still studying it. We're still learning, but hang on to this. When times are normal, leaders inspire change. We're not in normal times. When times are disruptive, leaders provide stability. Make it your goal to point people up to the stability of Jesus Christ. Oh, the Lord, our fresh beginning, creates stability through His Son. Now let's move on. Number 7, the Lord of fresh beginning creates as the head of the church. You know, Colossians 1:18 says He is the head of the body, the church. Pretty straight up. Listen, don't try to be the head of the church wherever you are, even if you're the pastor. No, my friend, the Lord's the head of the church. And if you're a church member frustrated because you seem to be losing control, or you don't have as much power anymore, or maybe the deacons took over, or the elder took over, the pastor taken, or you know what? The ultimate thing is, it's the Lord's church, and all of us ought to be listening for one thing. Lord, what do you think? We need to be listening for the whisper as He answers that. That's humble leadership. Whether you're the pastor, an elder, a deacon, on the church council, whatever terminology you use, are you listening for the whispers of the head of the church? By the way, He loves to use small churches. Well, 80 to 90% of all churches are under 100, and apparently that was the Lord's plan. It's not that they're failing. People want to have a shepherd that, well, it's called knowability. People go to small churches because they want knowability. They want the pastor to know them by name, know their hearts, know their situation, and walk with them. And most pastors want to do that. But then there's that 8% that are mega churches, well, over, say, over 500 that and bigger, or the mega ones, but the bigger churches. The pastor can't know everybody, but he has staff that does, and there's a place for that. But don't think that small churches are second-class churches. Jesus is never over there going, oh no, I wonder why so many churches are small. He intended them in many cases to be small. It's His way. Small flocks with a shepherd, with a personal touch. It's okay. Embrace it. We need to redefine what success is in the local church. It's not becoming a mega church, and if you don't, you're a failure. No. It depends on gift sets, special callings, the hand and anointing of God, whether church becomes big or not. Our task is to be faithful, to do what we're called to do, and leave the growth to Him. Now we come to number 8. The Lord, our fresh beginning, not only creates stability through His Son, not only does He create as the head of the church, but He creates through the blood of the cross. He creates through the blood of the cross. Let's pick it up in Colossians 1, verses 19 through 20. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. The Lord made peace through the blood of the cross. The Lord, our fresh beginning, gives fresh beginnings through the blood of the cross. That's the salvation gospel message. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are they washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's the blood that covers our sin, atones. It's the blood, as you hear me pray, every time we open up a broadcast, I love thanking the Lord for His precious cleansing, healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. It's the power of the blood, my friends. You know, there have been moves in Christendom in the last several decades to take the blood out of the hymnology. Oh, it's too bloody. It's too gory. Listen, that's our life blood. It is kind of hard, though, to grasp the idea that blood cleanses. I mean, in real life, blood stains. I mean, you get blood on a shirt or your dress or something like that, it's done. You know, you can't get blood stains out. Well, listen, that's on the outside. But guess what the blood does on the inside of your body? Those of you that have any degree of medical training at all, basic health principles know that the blood cleanses the inside of the body. The bloodstream is doing its cleansing work all the time. And guess what? On the inside of your heart and soul, the blood of Jesus Christ does its work. That's why we call it precious, cleansing, healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. We're forgiven because of the work of the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. And let me just add one more thing just to kind of clarify this. You know, there's wonderful passages that talk about how by his stripes we are healed. And it's talking about the work on the cross. We see it in the Old Testament. We see it reiterated in the New Testament. And there are those who will say that healing is guaranteed in the atonement, that we ought to be physically healed on this church because of what's happened, because of the blood in this life and all. Well, yes and no. Let me just say this. It is true that it is the healing blood, but here's the idea we need to really grasp. All the promises of God, even the dreams of God, do they come true? Yes, eventually. There's eventual and ultimate healing, eventual and fulfilled dreams. When we go home to glory, we will have brand new bodies, totally healed forever and ever. Does he sometimes heal in this fleck of life that we call what we're living on earth? Because it's just but a brief time. Sometimes he does instantaneously heal. Sometimes he does choose to immediately physically heal us. And I praise God for that. But if he chooses not to, that doesn't mean he's holding out. That doesn't mean that his blood doesn't heal. It doesn't mean that by his stripes we aren't healed. It just means that your healing, it may be, will be coming eventually when we go home to be with the Lord. And in the meantime, he wants you to live out a testimony that says, I don't have to have perfect health in order to praise God. He is not holding out on me. He takes care of me more deeply than I can possibly imagine. I've been spiritually healed. My soul has been healed, my mind, my heart, and then my body to eventually be totally healed. So don't get caught up on what happens in this temporal life. He creates through the blood of the Lamb, including the work of his blood, which is precious, cleansing, healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving. And now we come to the last one, because in this thought of how these promises and dreams and this work of God is eventual, and when we go home with him to be in glory, Scripture said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face, and all is going to become clean, and we get the new body and the new heavens and new earth. Eventually, all is going to be done and completed. And I love that. There's that sense that we have been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, but we will be saved from the presence of sin eventually. Which brings me to number 9. The Lord, our fresh beginning, creates then, now, and forevermore. I just love that way of wrapping it up. He creates then, now, and forevermore. I pick it up in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. This is the Lord talking. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Oh, our Almighty God, our fresh beginning, creates then in eternity past, now in our daily lives, and forevermore when we go home to be with him again. My friend, get the big picture embedded in your heart and life. We're living a fleck life on earth, but one day we'll be living in an eternal oceanic kind of life in heaven that goes on and on and on and on. The day that we physically die, that this physical body, I call it an earth suit. It's built with planned obsolescence. It is built to wear out because we're going to get a new one someday anyway. When it does finally give up the ghost, we will leave this solid ball called earth. We will step into the sea of eternity, and the currents of eternity will sweep us out to experience the presence and the love of God like we've never known before. He creates then, now, and forevermore. Don't get overwhelmed by the heartaches of this earth, by the trials of this earth. This will be passing. This is but for a small season. If you want to really dig into that, go to 1 Peter and read the whole book. That's exactly what it's about. We have these struggles temporarily, but one day we'll be with Him forever and ever. He creates then, now, and forevermore. We can always be living a fresh beginning in Christ because He is our fresh beginning. Lord, thank You so much. This is a deep study, the deep truths. We want to receive them and walk in them, Lord, that every day can be a fresh beginning in You in all these different ways. Thank You for being our stability, our head. Thank You for Your blood, Your grace, Your truth. You're amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Please check out markpg.org for more. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your fresh beginning.